Okay.
Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do two times a week because we like to talk about needles and threads and ground cloth. Hmm? Yep.
And scissors.
Yeah. Hey, that would be a topic. Yeah, scissors. Yeah. How to spend $80 on something that's 3 inches long and does the same thing as something that's 2 inches long and you can buy for $8. Yeah. Let's talk about that. We're out of whack. We're going to be sponsored here by the EGA on these Wednesday shows for a while because we want to help them promote the Sampler University. And this is a new venture that they're doing. And Lee Peacock, the president, talked about it a couple weeks ago when we did a show with her. The Sampler University is for members and non-members. It's at the EGA National Seminar in Dallas next November. But non-members can participate, where in the seminar, you need to be an EGA member. So this is a two-day weekend thing, and there's two projects. Isabella Kettlewell is a sampler. It's a beautiful sampler that Sylvia Stecker of Running with Needles and Scissors is going to teach. And that uses silk from, I didn't write it down. What's her name? Yeah, it'll come to me. Anyway, magnificent silk. And
Vicki Clayton.
Good call. Vicki Clayton. That is fantastic silk. And you want to give it a try someday if you never have. Well, that's in the kit. That's what it's kitted with. And then... Nice. Then there's a sampler sewing roll that Becky Noland of Lucy Beam is going to teach. And Becky will be with us as soon as we can work out the scheduling here in the next few weeks. We'll do a show with her. So the two really terrific projects over the 2 days. And so you get 2 days of classes, two kits. And in the cost, the cost of the kits is built into this cost. Two kits, two lunches, Saturday night stitch-in, and a bunch of swag. And you can register at egausa.org. But this is a real opportunity for you to participate in tangentially, but in a seminar, a national seminar, without committing to, you know, the multiple day deal. Mm-hmm. You can get there, you can get a taste of it, and do two really terrific projects. That sampler, oh man, it is really beautiful. So check that out at egausa.org. You just go to the events page. And the Sampler U, you'll see a logo for Sampler University there. So check that out. If you've never been to a seminar or are not a member and would like to give it a try, definitely worth doing. And that's next November in Dallas. So Dallas, rather centrally located, easy to get to by about a billion different flights. And not horribly expensive from anywhere, I don't think. So check that out, egausa.org, the Sampler University. This is a real opportunity here that they've put together. And so thanks to EGA for sponsoring the show. And we're happy to help out because it's one more thing that EGA is doing that is reaching out to non-members, reaching out to stitchers of all ages and all types. It's what I like about them. Whether they sponsor shows or not, it's what I like about them. They make a real effort across the board to expand the ability of people to experience needlework. It's I really admire them for that. So egausa.org is the deal. No stitch hour tonight because we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Next week we'll have a stitch hour, and I don't think we have a guest, but that doesn't mean a thing because when we get talking about stitching, we usually go longer than if we have a guest. So
right there
we have that. So tell people about the Stitch Hour. And I always forget, you know, like and subscribe to our Instagram and our Facebook. I forget all the time. And I'm supposed to because then you get more subscribers, they tell me. But I forget all the time.
So, and YouTube.
And YouTube.
YouTube.
What did I say?
Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, all three.
All three.
So, and if you subscribe to YouTube and Instagram, then you get notified of other things we have going on. So, please do that. And then, so next week we'll just be stitching and chatting and so on and so forth. Sunday's guest is Deanna David of Ribbon Candy Hooking, Rug Hooking, and Punch Needle. Rug Hooking and Punch Needle.
Okay.
What a fascinating story. She's one of those. She was in Europe, and it for an extended period of time, and really wanted to come back to the States. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I'm not sure I know all the details, and I wouldn't have asked anyway because, you know, personal stuff. But right. She wanted to come back to the States, and she needed something that would connect her to the States. And so she started Rug Hooking because that connected her to the New England States, and she felt like at least there was, you know, a tangible thing in her hands that reminded her of home and gave her a connection. And that was kind of the little kernel that started her on this rug hooking and rug hooking design business. And now she's got a full-blown business, designs, selling materials, the whole bit. And it's all out of, you know, and it's another one of those examples of people finding mental stability, mental therapy, I don't know what the words are, through needlework. And she found this, it kept her from losing it, and then now it's blossomed. So
wow.
And we had a conversation with her. She was fun. It was really great. So that'll be Sunday. Deanna David, ribboncandyhooking.com. And we refrained from hookers and punchers. You know.
Good.
We refrained from all the obvious jokes there. Yeah. Yeah. Because you know how, yeah, you can imagine how you could go on for a couple hours with hookers and punchers, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there we go. It was hard too. I'm telling you, it was real hard. And it was hard for her too. She wanted to. I could tell she wanted to do the jokes too, but we didn't. We were adults. We were adults, and yeah, yeah. It was so hard. I wanted to so bad. this past weekend, we opened registration for the Fiber Talk Needle Arts Weekend.
Yay.
Pretty excited about this. I hope people will check it out and sign up. It's going to be March 21 to 23 next year, March 21 to 23 in, we're saying St. Louis, but it's really in St. Charles, which is just the next town north. But St. Louis is what people connect with. And it's just a little bit west of Lambert Airport, which is the St. Louis Airport. So really convenient. And so it's going to be the 21st to the 23rd. We'll be able to start stitching at noon on that Friday. And we'll be able to stitch all the way till 3 o'clock on Sunday. Hotel check-in is at 3, but you can come and stitch and then go check in at some point in the afternoon. And checkout is 11 o'clock Sunday. So you can come stitch and check out and then, you know, wheel your suitcase in and stitch till 3 or whatever, you know, whatever works for you. But so it's going to be stitching and then we'll have a reception Friday night. And then part of your hotel is a hot breakfast. Like they cook to order omelets and those kinds of things at the Embassy Suites. So you get a good breakfast built into the thing. Then 7 o'clock in the morning to 11 p.m. stitching from on Saturday, and then 7 in the morning till 3 o'clock on Sunday. And Saturday, though, is the day. I'm really excited about this. We wanted to have an event where you didn't come home with yet another project that gets set aside and doesn't get finished. You know, the 5% who actually finish them, and then the 95%, oh, yeah, I did that one at this event. So we wanted to do that, but we wanted to have a way for people to learn, to expand their knowledge. So we have 6 classes that don't involve a project. 6 classes.
They're lectures.
Yeah.
Lectures.
Yeah, right. And they'll fit anyone. It doesn't. And that's the other thing I really want to emphasize. That this is, it doesn't matter what technique you do, this is for everyone. This is not a cross-stitch only event. If you do needlepoint, if you do gold work, whatever it is, bring it. We want everybody to be able to feel comfortable and not feel like you're the weird one doing needlepoint when everyone else is doing cross stitch, you know?
Right.
So it doesn't matter. And the cool thing about that is if we have a bunch of techniques, you might actually learn something. You might find somebody and go, wait a minute, how do you do that?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see if we have exchanges like that. But the classes...
Plus we get to see all the fun stuff people are working
right,
on.
Right. Yeah. It's selfish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We want to see too. Yeah. 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 We aren't going to pretend that. No, we want to see. Yeah. So the classes, Robin Rossignol is going to do two classes and these are about 50 minutes long. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to show up with supplies or anything. You just show up. You probably want a pen and paper. Because you'll want to make notes. But Robin is going to do one on learn what your color wheel can do. And so she'll show you how to work a color wheel and then put together a combination of colors. And then we'll have colored pencils there. And so you can do a quilt pattern with your colors to see how it works out. So you can work it out on a color wheel, select the colors, and then see how your combination works. And so that's really cool. And then she's also going to do a class on different threads. And I think if I can get free, I want to attend this one because, well, you probably have heard 1,000 times from Robin about these things, but you know, a thread gets discontinued in a project that you bought 10 years ago. How do I replace it?
Or you need a different color and the thread you're using doesn't come in that color.
Yep.
But a different thread does. Is it the right weight? Is it the right dimension? That's what she's going to talk about.
Yeah. So that, and you can tell these are classes that apply to anyone. So, you know, that, I mean, everybody can use that kind of knowledge. And so she's going to do those two. Then Cindy's going to do one on over-dyed threads. And this is going to be, how do you take a, tell us, how what are you going to do? I'm not going to read this. You can tell us. You're right here.
So I'm going to talk about changing the colors on your project. And this is probably going to be primarily needlepoint. And here's an example. I just finished Fibonacci swirls.
Oh, did you? Oh, wait a minute. Forgot to set you up as a screen only. Oh, man, that's beautiful. That came out nice. Wow. We'll have a picture for all the audio listeners. We'll have a picture of that. That came out nice.
Yeah. Thank you. And let's see. Do I have the... I don't have the original colors. I don't have a picture of it handy. But I started with an over-dyed. This is the over-dyed that I wanted to use. It's called Blue Spruce.
Karen Collection?
Watercolors, yeah. Collection Watercolors. And so then I needed four different over-dyes. So this is one I started with. And then I found some other ones that worked with it. This is the wrong box. I don't have them here with me. But so I'm going to talk about how you take a skein of an over-dyed thread. Could be watercolors. It could be floss. Could be silk. And use this to inspire your colors for your project. So you don't have to do the colors that the designer has. And if you know, I don't know how many people have said, ooh, I don't like those colors. And they go right on by the design because
right.
they don't like the colors.
Yeah.
But if you look at the design, there might be stitches in there that you haven't done before or that you like to do that are kind of fun. So then, you know, you think, okay, well, I don't like those colors, but I want to change the colors. So that's mm-hmm. what we're going to talk about.
Right. And now
how you go about doing that.
Yeah, and now you'll focus on needlepoint, but for cross stitchers, how many cross stitch designs use variegated thread?
Not many.
No? I thought a lot of them were doing that because I don't pay much attention.
So it probably depends on what kind of cross stitch you're doing.
Oh, okay.
And what I mean is samplers versus pictures.
Yeah.
So now I know there is a whole Facebook group of people who change colors on Mirabilia designs.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they just, you know, they will pick a, I don't know, a woman with a, you know, big flouncy dress. They don't like the color of the dress, so they totally change it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more of a shading kind of a thing.
Okay.
So you pick the color you want, and then you find the shades, however many shades you need, based on looking at the pattern, and just replace those shades with the shades you want to use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can talk about that a little bit, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're using a sampler, doing a sampler that has over-dyed threads and you don't like a particular color, change it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, there's more than just needlepoint to this thing, is I guess what I was trying to get to. And, you know, I look at that, the combination of Robin's two classes and yours, if you were to take all three of those, look how armed you would be to be able to change any design and make it yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this whole changing things. And you make an excellent point. You know, you look at a design, I don't like the colors, and you pass it by. It reminds me of those the shows on HGTV where people walk into a house and, I don't like the blue on that wall, or I don't like the white cabinets. My reaction every time, and I hate those shows. I don't watch them. Marga watches them because she likes the design stuff. And so I catch them as I'm passing through the room or whatever. But my reaction every time is, you know, well, I don't like that wall color. Then paint it. You know, I don't like those design colors. Then change the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Paint it. It's the same thing.
You
like red? Then figure out some reds.
I think most realtors will say, you know, to the homeowner, paint your walls white.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's actually, if we sell our place, we're part of an HOA and we're in a townhouse, that's actually in the covenants, is when you sell, you have to paint your house, all the rooms white.
Ugh.
Yeah. So if they aren't white already, you get to do a lot of painting. And actually, when we bought this place, you could tell it's not hard when you do any electrical work. They emptied the house, and then they had someone come in and just spray it all. You know, because you can tell when you open up the electrical boxes, the overspray gets in there. But to me, it's the same thing. I don't like the color in this room, then paint it. I don't like the color in this design, then change it. But then, all right, how?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what these classes will do. Here's the how.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And Robin is going to say this too. Your best friend is a DMC real thread color card.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And then there's other color cards for other thread companies. I have a Krynek color card, and I'll bring these along so people can see what they look like. The DMC color card isn't, I think it's like $30. Off of the DMC website, and I use mine constantly.
Yep, I'm sure you do. Yeah, because you rarely stitch with anything the way it's designed. I mean, that's the odd man out for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I don't change colors that often. But I will say that I have the thread version of the color chart, and I use that more than I ever thought I would. I mean, I bought it just to have it, and I find myself hauling that thing out time after time after time for whatever. But you got to get the one that's at the actual threads. Do not get the printed one, because that's just it's not the same.
The colors aren't true.
No.
No.
No. not even close. And you go, well, yeah, but that's fair because it's not cheap, but you'll use it forever. So, you know, take, what is it?
Yeah,
40 bucks, spread that over 8 years. Okay. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they will publish a new one periodically because they're always adding threads and sometimes taking them away.
Yeah.
But they do, they're good for several years.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And even when they are a little bit out of date, you still, you know, what you're missing is anything that's a new color that they've stuck in somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, into a particular thread progression or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Which is probably not going to make that big of a difference to you.
No, because you're going to get, what, 350 colors in the chart anyway. So if they add two more shades, yeah whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Cool side note. Natalie Dupuis, she's going to do a live show with us here coming up as soon as she gets it together. I mean, not, she has it together personally, but that didn't come out right at all, did it? I didn't, no, I missed the boat on that one all the way around. She is now the librarian for the Canadian, I may not have this exactly right, but the Canadian EGA.
Oh, I saw that.
She's going through all their volumes and getting it organized. It wasn't organized at all. So she's figuring out what they have. And she posted something the other day where in there was an ancient DMC color card. And so she's going to do a show to show us some of the old volumes and interesting things she found by getting it together. Once she figures all these things out, that's what I meant, when she gets it all cataloged and organized. But then I'm specifically going to ask her, we got to see that old, because it was old, like really old color card. We got to see that thing. Yeah. Yeah. So that, more to come from Natalie there. I forget how many volumes she said that they have, but it's a truckload, that just in boxes and nobody. Yeah.
Wow.
So imagine the history. Whew.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So
cool.
Cool. That's coming up. She's going to do a show with us. Cause I immediately said, you got to do a show. We got to see this stuff. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, okay. And then the next class, and this is another one, the title we put on it, Don't Fear Specialty Stitches, and Beth's going to do this one. And, you know, this of course applies to everyone, because how many people don't do a sampler because it has specialty stitches? How many people don't do counted canvas because they're scared to death of doing a Jessica or a Walnetto or whatever? All right. So Beth's going to take you through and help you get over that fear, because 90% of them are not that tough.
Right.
Just not. Especially if you have a good diagram that shows you where to come up and go down. They're just none of them that tough. And there are some. Granted, there are some that are a challenge. But the vast majority and probably just about everything that you would find in a sampler are just, they're not.
Oh, yeah. Simple.
Yeah. I mean, 8-year-old girls were doing it, for crying out loud, you know. So Beth's going to do that one. And then I'm going
to add so much interest to your piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just X's.
Right. Well,
yeah. Eyelets and.
Right.
Whatever.
Exactly. And how many times could you, in a sampler, take something and do a different stitch? Doesn't have to be an X, you know, make it an eyelet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Beth's going to do that. I'm going to do one on tools. Tools that you would use that are designed for stitching, but then tools you'd get at the hardware store or whatever. One of them will be my toothpick thing from the dentist, my tartar scraper thing from the dentist. That'll be one of them. So I'll have a whole bunch of tools. And then Kelly Lee Teske is going to join us. And she's going to show you how to make a yo-yo, those cloth yo-yo things. I can't get how yo-yo became the name for that, but whatever. And then how to convert that into a needlebook. So that is the only one that is an actual project. But Kelly's going to bring all the stuff. She said she had plenty of stash that she wasn't worried about supplying a classroom full of people. So you'll come out of there with a needlebook. And apparently it's going to go fast because she says they're so easy to do. They look like it. So those are the six classes. Those will all be Saturday. So when and you go to wetalkfiber.com/weekend, and there you'll find a link to a PDF, and the PDF gives you all the details, and then how to register, and so on and so forth. So it's all explained in there, and it's real simple. And then in the email you send to register, then you put down, there are code words for each of these classes. You put that down for what classes you want to attend. And you can do multiple classes. And if we get one that fills up, then we'll see if we want everybody to take the classes they want. So if you get one that fills up, then we'll try and work one out so that there could be one in the evening that you so you can take your class. We have to see how that goes. We just simply don't know. But sign up for the classes you want. There's six of them. They'll be every hour in the morning and the afternoon with a break, 2-hour break in the middle. So you can go get lunch, do whatever, but that'll be Saturday. So that, and then during the weekend, we're going to have a table where at least one of us will be at the table all the time. We'll have to work that out. But so you can come by and ask questions, and if we can't answer it, we'll find someone in the room who can answer it. But, you know, I cannot figure out how to do this. Well, we'll help you out. One of us will help you out. Somebody in the room knows. So that's a table for that. And then we're going to have what we call the Jennifer table. And that's going to be an hour and a half in the morning, an hour and a half in the afternoon, where Jennifer will be there. And she's going to have some tamari balls that she's got all made up. So you can stitch. You can experience putting stitches into a tamari ball, and she'll be there to show you and help you so you can try it, because that's intimidating. You know, how do I start? I start with this foam ball, and I got to do this, and I got to do this before I even stitch. So she's going to have that, and she'll show you, and you can actually take one of those long needles and some thread and ram it through there and do some design. So that's going to be pretty cool. And then also she'll have materials so you can try slow stitching, which is fascinates me. I've not tried it, but it fascinates me. So that there'll be a time, an hour and a half in the morning and the afternoon, where you can spend with Jennifer doing one or the other. So that'll be pretty cool. And that's just drop in. You don't sign up for that. You just drop in as you want, and you know, the table's empty or there's an open seat. Don't know how that's going to play out. So we'll have those two tables in the main room. So you can just, you know, I need a break from my stitching. I want to go see what this tamari thing's about. So you go do that. So that's the weekend, and then, you know, hours and hours of just stitching time. And so wetalkfiber.com/weekend will get you to the page on the website. And then on that page is a link for a PDF that you download, and that tells you exactly how to register for the classes, how to pay, the whole bit. The fee is $300, and so all that we talked about, that's included in that. And then you register, you get your hotel room with the hotel. We don't handle that. You do that separate with the hotel, and there'll be a link when you sign up. Then you'll get an email back, and that'll have the link so you can get your book your hotel room. And then we're also going to, at the suggestion of Allison Foles, thank you, Fowles or Foles, I'm not sure, going to find out when she comes. She suggested we have what others have done, which is a private Facebook page for people who are attending. So we'll set that up here in the next few days, and then you'll be able to go there and communicate with people, and maybe you need someone to share a room with, or you know, you're looking for somebody to carpool with or whatever. So that'll be a private Facebook group for this event. So, cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be cool.
I am too.
Yep. So, yeah, there we go. Join us.
Yay.
Got plenty of time to figure it out. Join us. And, yeah, we'll have, it'll be a fun weekend. So, mm-hmm. but right now we have a room block, and it's, you know, it's capped. They said we could increase it if we fill it up really soon, but you know, she said if it's a couple 3 months out, then the price can go up because that's the way hotels work. So, yeah. Book early on that. Yeah, it's gonna be it's gonna be fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's that one. Yep. Let's see. Well, I wanted to try this because I have no idea how it's going to go, but I wrote this down. I think the last time you and I did the show, what would you tell a rookie about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I made a list of, basic stuff. So what would you tell a rookie about? Like somebody who knows anything or knows nothing. So let's go ahead.
Well, I have done this because I've been teaching beginning cross-stitch classes.
Oh.
And the first thing I tell them is to buy the best materials they can afford.
Ah.
You know, don't go buy the packet of DMC floss for crafting.
Ah.
That's made to do friendship bracelets with, and it is not going to work well for you for stitching.
Yep.
You know, your fabric, I've seen Ada that is so stiff, I thought it was plastic canvas. I've also seen Ada that's so loose and floppy that, you know, it doesn't have any sizing in it at all. And also is very uneven.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So pay attention to your materials. Needles, cheap needles, can have a burr on the inside of them, and they'll shred your thread.
Yep. A story about DMC floss. I saw somebody post within the last couple of days, why is DMC floss from, it was either Walmart or whatever, so not good? It was they noticed that a distinct difference between that and floss you would get, say, at a local needlework store. Mm-hmm. Because it's cheaper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lower grade stuff that doesn't quite measure up, that goes to your place where you can get it for 25, 30 cents, 40 cents a skein, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The good stuff goes to local needlework stores and mm-hmm. and the like. And then as we've seen with Avlia, with floss that all of Crystal West kits come with floss that's off of the cone. Mm-hmm. And that, there's a distinct better level with those over ones that are in skeins. You can tell. It's
not gone through a machine as much.
Right.
I think is probably the deal.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the deal. Yep. So, yeah, you think you're getting a real hot deal by going to Joann's and not necessarily. The reason it's that price is because it's not the top of the line stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I do buy floss at Michael's mm-hmm. and Joann's, and I found it to be pretty good. I wouldn't go to Walgreens or Walmart and buy it.
Yeah.
But that's because we don't have a local needlework shop here anymore.
Right.
You know, if I'm in a local needlework shop, I buy my floss there, even though it's more expensive.
Yeah, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and I'll tell this story. I've told it 100 times, but I'll tell it again. The Saturday, it was many years ago, I was in a local needlework store. It was the one that was close to me. And it was a Saturday, as busy as all get out, and somebody had taken the time to help these two ladies pick out designs and figure out all the things, and then they made their purchase, and then one turned to the other and said, all right, now we're off to Joann's to get thread. I almost bit my tongue off. Mm-hmm. You just got all of this help. And now you're going to go nickel and dime and loud enough that the owner could hear it.
That's the part that gets me.
Yeah.
Why would you say that in the store in front of everybody, and the person that just helped you and the owner of the store?
No. And I know it's
That's
cheaper.
so unthinking.
Yeah, wait till you get in the car, you know? At least do that much. But and I know it's cheaper. I know that a skein of DMC floss in a local needlework store is cheaper. I know that. Or in a Joann's or a Hobby Lobby or whatever. I know it's cheaper. But you're supporting, I mean, she just spent on a busy Saturday, how much time was spent to help these ladies? If nothing else, consider it a fee for the help and buy the thread there. But and I for me, and this is probably really out in left field, I look at buying skeins of floss at Joann's that are just sitting out in the open, and how many kids have gone through and played with them or whatever. How many times have they been knocked on the floor? And then I look at a local needlework store where they're in the drawers. They haven't been out in the light. They haven't been out where they can get dusty. No kids have fingered them. And to me, that's worth the extra 15 cents a skein to know that I'm getting good, clean floss. And I mean, that's just me. It's probably ridiculous, but I think it's worth it. I do. And then, yeah, you go to Walmart and you notice that the skein, the thread quality isn't as good. Big surprise.
Yeah, you're going to have different dye lots. You know, if you've started using a particular thread and you're running out and you go to wherever, even Walmart or wherever, chances are really good it's not going to be the same color.
It's worth it. No, that's a really good, what would you tell a rookie? Buy quality stuff. All the way around, or you'll regret it. Because how long are you going to take to do that project? And when it's all done, if half of the stitches have thread fr flayed, yeah, the thread is scuffed up. Let's try that. Because you had a burr in your needle because you bought 10-cent needles. Is it worth it? No, not worth it.
Or you get frustrated because your thread keeps breaking or twisting, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm a big believer in buying. I guess I could safely say I don't care how expensive the needle is. To me, it's worth it. Because what's the one thing you're going to use project after project after project? With all different kinds of threads.
Well, and you know, you think, oh, a needle's a needle.
No.
But some of those needles, the more expensive ones, are polished more. And man, they slide through that fabric so nicely. Yeah, it does make a difference.
You buy a tulip needle or a peacemaker or whatever. You'll notice a difference. And DMC needles from Joann's. No, I bought one set one time. They're just stamped out. There's invariably a burr in there. I don't.
Well, they're all stamped. That's how they're made.
But
But it's how they're finished
what
that
they
makes the
do,
difference.
they're stamped and not finished. No, it's it's been especially. I mean, that's the thing with any craft or anything, spend good money on tools.
Well, so, you know, if you think about, you know, okay, so it costs you maybe, let's say, $50 or $60 for your fabric and your threads. When you think about how much enjoyment you get out of that, how many hours of calm, peaceful stitching you get out of that, it's worth every penny.
So true. What will you spend to go to the movies? For 2 hours. And this is multiple hours. So true. But that, and that was interesting when you mentioned about ground cloth, how important that is to buy good stuff. Same kind of thing. Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times you just can't tell because in the store, it's in a package. But I've seen a lot of people on the, you know, Facebook pages complaining that their fabric was taller than it was wide or whatever. It's not square. And most fabrics are not truly square. Ground cloths, I should say, because that's true of canvas as well. They're not exactly square. There's always a little bit of difference between the length and the width.
Yeah.
It's not noticeable most of the time.
Yeah.
But some of these inexpensive fabrics, Adas especially, are way off.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take your little ruler. I don't have one handy here. That's what I was looking for. And measure it. Measure it this way and measure it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And see if it, you know, is it 14 holes per inch both ways? If it's not, maybe it doesn't matter. Just be aware that your piece is not going to be square.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Now,
and that's okay.
Yeah, one of the tools that I'll have in the box when I do the class is a square. I have here in this room a small square from the hardware store so that when I mount needlepoint canvas, I can lay it on there and see how if I have it square or close to square on the stretcher bars before I start stitching so that I know when I'm done that the chances are that much better that it won't have to be stretched, blocked, all the things. Yeah, I check that quite a bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually with linen, you can tell because you can, when you put it on there, you can see the threads waving up and down, but you can't always with needlepoint canvas, you can't always tell. And
no.
It looks square and beautiful, and then it could be off by a little bit, but you can straighten that out. Yeah. Yeah, no, I keep a square here all the time, and you know, and I use it on stretcher bars. Are they square? Am I starting with a frame that's square?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. What do you tell them about lighting and magnification? Manufacturing. Jeez.
It depends on what I mean. Some people, young people, maybe don't need extra lighting. But when people say they can't see to do needlework, the first thing is light. The average table lamp is not going to get it as you get older.
Yeah.
I'm in my dining room right now, and you know, I've got 5 light bulbs in the light fixture. But if I'm working on something that is small, I need more light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because I'm older, I need the magnification too.
Yeah, add the ER. Make sure you add the ER on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been using a magnifying lamp for decades. And I think that it just improves my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can stitch a lot of things. I can stitch on something like this without a special light or magnification until I got to the putting it the metallic in. And then I needed the magnification because I couldn't see the holes in right next to the dark border.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 18 count canvas is pretty big. It's got big holes. I can see that most of the time. But sometimes I'll find that I haven't laid my threads very well. If I'm laying threads on the canvas, if I don't have that extra light and magnification, if I'm out stitching somewhere at the library or something like that.
Yeah.
So then, you know, when I look at it with my light and magnification, it's like, oh.
Rip it out. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And is it that bad? No. It's just not as good as I'd like it to be.
Right. Right. And that, but you know, yeah, but that builds up. Not as good as you like it to be across a 12 by 12 piece. That builds up.
Right.
And if you compare that to someone who has stitched the same thing as good as it could be humanly, you will see the difference. Mm-hmm. It'll be quite clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah. So do you have to spend a lot of money on a fancy light magnifier? No. These are readers. I think I went up to a 2. Mostly because with my regular glasses, I'd be like this.
Yeah.
Looking through the bifocal.
Right, right.
I don't use them very often for stitching, but once in a while I do.
Yeah.
I use them to read.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, again, it's easier. There's a bigger area for reading than with my my regular bifocals.
Mm-hmm.
These in particular don't have a real big reading area.
Yeah.
So I bought a package of five from Amazon.
Yeah.
So I've got to have them in every room.
Right. Yeah. You can get those things dirt cheap anymore. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Go to, you know, Walgreens or CVS or wherever and take your stitching along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And try the different powers to see which one works at the distance you need.
Yeah.
You can get clip-on lights, little book lights,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would clip right onto your hoop or your frame. You know, they give you a little spotlight. It's not going to give you a lot of light, but they're lightweight. So, you know, you can hold your needlework. There's plenty of tools,
right,
that can get you past that I can't see good enough to stitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and we've just done there's 3 or 4 shows now talking about my trip to the eye doctor,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I bought a pair of line trifocals for stitching and other close up work, working on sewing machine little parts.
Mm-hmm.
And what a marvelous difference. Now, I've been stitching on this Avalia thing, which is 27, 28 count ground cloth, and I don't need the magnifier, and I'm seeing well enough, but I still need light, but I'm seeing well enough that I'm confident of the stitch quality on that piece. But now I'm sure, and I got to test it. I've been enjoying the Avalia thing, so, you know. But I need to test it on 40 count linen,
mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I'll end up with the magnifier. But I did just a quick, like 30-second thing to see if there would be a difference, and I could tell that not only was I going to still enjoy the magnifier, but I would see just that much better because the glasses are done right, and the magnified viewing area is bigger. And,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So one thing I've had to learn, though, is now stitching on this Avalia thing is I'm not using magnification. And I had the light on my left side, and the hand that stays on top is my left hand.
Oh, so you're casting a shadow.
I was blocking the light. Yep. Yep. So now I have to consciously put it to the other side. So that, I was blocking the light. I said, well, this isn't so great. And you idiot, move it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a good point about those little book lights,
mm-hmm.
is having one of those in your travel bag is with a couple of extra AAA batteries, those things will put out enough light. Like if you stitch on an airplane, I've used those on an airplane. We've had more than one person mention about how they're stitching in the living room watching TV, and you know, their spouse, partner, whatever, complains about the big magnifier light reflecting off the TV or whatever, then you, one of those little lights will do the job and you won't be putting out so much. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about those readers, you know, and doing it inexpensively. All you have to do is watch Beth stitch with her, you know, her glasses and her readers in front of it. I mean, there's, she does, you know, you look at her stitching, you know, it's.
Does that all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's her standard setup, and her stitching is magnificent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's cheap. Yep.
Yeah. And they make little clip-on lenses that just clip right onto the front of your glasses. Uh-huh. And you can flip them up to get them out of the way or flip them down.
Yeah.
And they just cover, I think most of them just cover the bottom part of your glasses, so you can still look out and see people or TV or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's lots of vision aids out there that are reasonably priced and portable.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, and with my glasses, by getting them at the same time I got my regular everyday glasses, then I got a discount. I used I used frames that were in the closeout bin, so they were $50 for the frame. Mm-hmm. Insurance played a role in saving me money by getting them at the same time. I think it's like 30 or 35% discount for getting two sets of glasses or two pairs of glasses at the same time. So even those really in the big picture didn't cost me that much. And they just sit here in the room. I mean, I don't wear them every day, but when I sit down, they're worth it. It was worth it. Yeah, there's so many ways. And of course, you can go the Kraft Optic Cadillac end of things. And, you know, yeah, those are, I'm sure, mind-blowingly good. Like, that's what you use, right? You have those? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure they're just,
they aren't close by or I'd show them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love them. You know, they're very portable. I can take them anywhere. The charge lasts a long time.
Yeah.
They're easy to wear. And there are other kinds so for years I used a kind of a headband kind of a magnifier. So there's a standard kind of, you know, around your neck magnifier that kind of sits right here.
Yeah.
That I used to use one of those. And then I found this kind of headband thing, and the craft stores have them. I know Michaels has them. It kind of sits up here, and then it has the lenses are on mounted in a plastic piece that swivels down wherever you need it. And I think they actually come with maybe three different powers. So you can just pop, you know, if you need a stronger power, just pop out the one and put in another one.
Uh-huh.
And those work well. You know, the magnifier is kind of out here. And, you know, you're holding your fabric, you know, another 8 or 9 inches below it. It works well.
Yeah. Yeah. And not expensive, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah. Yep. So there we go. Yeah. All kinds of options. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just poke around a little bit, ask people. Everybody's got their own thing that works.
Mm-hmm.
And but because they do it doesn't mean you have to do it. You can do your own thing. Yep.
Right.
But I remember when a ways back I bought four or five magnification readers from Amazon. And they came, I mean, literally, you couldn't buy one pair. You had to buy four or five, you know, just for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Because I thought that would be a good solution. And that doesn't work so well. When you get the magnification,
too
it's
high.
It's too high. And so you're looking through this very small area, and you got to hold your head just so, or it goes out of focus. And Yeah, so if anybody wants to try them, I have some I'll send you for free because I got no use for them.
Well, and that's why I say take your stuff with you to the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
so that you can experiment with the different powers and see what works best for you.
Test it out. Yeah, and if you, I think they're 5X. So if somebody wants, a pair, I'll pop them in the mail to you. Yeah, you can have them for free. I won't even charge you for postage. Just, but you'll get a
Get them out
headache.
of the house.
You'll get a
Yeah.
headache because I did. So, all right. Well, that's enough. Holy smokes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done. All
Yeah.
right. So, wetalkfiber.com/weekend is where you will get all the details about the Needle Arts Weekend in March. Hope you'll join us for that. And Sunday, Deanna David, ribbon candy hooking. Hookers and punchers is what we're talking about. And we'll just leave it lie right there. Stop. Don't even do it, Cindy. Don't even try. All right. All right. We're done. Thanks for listening.
Bye.